Waiting for your sign? Here it is. Shop Labor Day appliance deals at Lowe's before they're gone. Get up to 45% off select major appliances. Plus, get free delivery, haul away, installation and parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan on purchases of $999 or more. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/16 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Micah Miller. Have you watched the doc yet? Death of a Pastor's Wife on Netflix? Woo! JP, they're coming for you. The Calvary is coming for you. No more falling out of your car, laying in the grass of your yard. I'm talking crazy like you do. You batshit crazy mother effer.
In my opinion.
Micah Miller. Call 911 on April 27th, 2024. She was calm. She asked the dispatcher if they could trace her phone. Then she said she was about to end her life. And she wanted her family to know how to find her. We've been talking about this case for years, on and off. A lot of people have. A lot of people getting threats for talking about this case. And then Netflix just kind of put it all out there. Oh, 2 years later, Netflix puts on the 3-hour footage on a screen about the man she was married to. And suddenly the world is enlightened about the transgressions and about the modalities that are alleged of Pastor John Paul Miller. And what came out is staggering. If you already know the case, you're already like, I knew that. Whoa, didn't know that. Whoa, oh my God. What happened? What? Friends and family spoke on camera for the first time. Sermon footage played in full. And the woman who was closest to Micah said things about John Paul Miller that made her physically sick to repeat. And it makes me physically sick to even think about what I heard in this documentary. We're going to talk about it. John Paul Miller has pled not guilty to federal cyberstalking charges and denied every allegation against him. He has declined to appear. Those are the building blocks of this case. He denies everything, okay? So that's important. What we're talking about are unproven allegations that were made in the documentary. Some are going to be litigated in court. Some are not. But these are what's in the doc. These are the five most disturbing things that came out about him anyway. All right? Here we go. Number five, his own sermons, not secondhand quotes from news articles, but the actual footage from the Solid Rock Church stage in Myrtle Beach, his voice, his face, his congregation in the pews. I love the fact that the attorney that's going after him downloaded every single one of them and now has it all on a record. And it's amazing how much projection is going into these sermons. When you look at what he's preaching about and what's actually going on in his life, when you can compare the two, the accusations of what's happening in his world, how much crazy projection is going on and how much control he's trying to wield at people. He preaches at a wife who doesn't meet her husband's needs. has committed a sin on the level of the worst offenses he can name. He tells the room that if she refuses, temptation will appear in front of her husband before the day ends. He tells the women that their husbands will find someone else if their needs go unmet, and that the failure is theirs. Or, John, you could just have a little thing called self-control and not F anything that moves. I don't know. Maybe that's the alternative to your wife or the many underage women that you've allegedly admitted to doing horrible things with and that have made accusations against you. Maybe you should just say, not going to do that. Not going to be a creepy mother effer. Not going to, you know, be a predator. You could just do that. You could just decide, you know what? The predator lifestyle's not for me. Not expecting the people you're preying on to go, let me just give it to you. You're a predator, I'm your prey. Because that's essentially what you've been preaching, you ignorant fuck. And anybody who attends your church, who still does attend your church, they deserve anything that's coming to them. Including being hit by a bus. Micah Miller was in that room when he gave this narcissistic, batshit crazy sermon to his congregation of delusional minions. She was a worship leader at Solid Rock since she was 16. JP officiated her first marriage, even. Knew her when she was in the youth group, you know, like every good predator pastor does. Get them while they're in the youth group. She became his personal assistant, then the babysitter for his children while he was married to another woman, and then the woman he left his first wife for. You know, like Jesus. Oh, wait. And he said all from the pulpit. When he talks about it from the pulpit, it's like, woo, if I tell you I do all these horrible things, what are you going to do to me? The church posted the sermons on its own website. Nobody in that building stopped him, and nobody walked out. He built the theology that allegedly justified everything he did to her, and he did it in front of hundreds of people. And they're all like, praise the Lord. What he preached matters later. Number four, Micah's family attorney, Regina Ward, alleges that John Paul forced Micah to take his own lithium prescription, medication prescribed to him, not her. Ward alleges he put the pills in Micah's food without telling her. No lithium prescription for Micah appeared in any medical record that surfaced during the investigation, according to Ward. John Paul's position, according to reporting, the Francis family opposed all medications on religious grounds. Well, it's not exactly medical grounds if you're sneaking her drugs that her doctors aren't giving to her. That's not medicine. If Ward's allegation is true, he was allegedly drugging his own wife with a powerful psychiatric medication she didn't know she was taking. Ward alleges that John Paul admitted he would cut Micah's pills up and give them to her when she refused to take them. Lithium without proper dosing and monitoring can cause confusion and disorientation. Behavior that looks exactly like the mental health episodes he later described to her doctors. He allegedly created the symptoms. Then he pointed to the symptoms as proof she was unstable. Before the marriage, according to Ward, Micah had no psychotic or psychiatric diagnosis. Inside it, she had a drug in her system that no doctor had prescribed for her, allegedly. Number three, Micah's siblings, several of them speaking publicly for the first time, alleged that John Paul called a mental health facility and initiated an involuntary commitment against Micah's will. He allegedly told her doctors she'd stopped taking her medication and had threatened to harm herself. She was locked inside for 3 days. Her family alleges they weren't allowed to visit without John Paul in the room. While she was there, her siblings allege he took her car, her phone, her laptop. The laptop, they say, contained intimate photographs of Micah. Federal prosecutors allege in the indictment that an intimate photograph of Micah was later posted online without her consent. They showed her the Netflix doc, the very picture that JP, in the interview with News Nation, goes, that's that didn't happen. Want a fucking bet? You narcissistic fuck. Want a bet? John Paul, they're coming for you, and they're going to get you. They're going to keep on coming at you, you fool. And they're going to take your ass down. Psychiatrist eventually told police it was a marital issue and released her. Micah reported the seizure of her devices to police. After she got out, the harassment allegedly didn't stop. She called police after finding a piece of metal jammed into her tire. Mechanics at her dealership found a tracking device attached to her car. On March 11th of 2024, she told officers she was afraid for her life. Federal prosecutors allege John Paul purchased a tire deflation device online and sent messages to others about Micah's car. He allegedly lied to FBI agents about all of it. So according to Micah's family and to federal prosecutors, he allegedly locked her up, took her devices, put her most private images online, slashed her tires, tracked her car, and lied to the FBI when they asked him about it. You know, like every good preacher. Every one of those steps allegedly happened while she was trying to leave him. When you have the power of God behind you, though, I guess you can do anything. I think that's like, people are like, how does someone do this shit? When you believe you're infallible, when you believe the horrible things you're doing are justified because they reach a greater means, a means that's greater than anything you could understand, but only I could understand. That's called grandiose thinking. It's a lot of what narcissists do. I know better because I'm just more wise. I'm this pastor. I have this relationship with God and blah, 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 blah. That's how that thinking works. And I can guarantee he's still running that game in his mind. He's delusional as fuck. And he'll be this way for the rest. You're not going to change John Paul Miller. He's going to go kicking and screaming into prison. Which hopefully Rufus will be waiting with a sharp broomstick ready to welcome in. Come on, John. We got some work for you to do over here. Where's the top of that broom? You want me to do some sweeping? There's no top needed. We sharpened it. It's ready for a hole. Come on, John. Let's bring it to you. Number two. Bruna Paybon, a Solid Rock congregation member and one of Micah's closest friends, speaks publicly for the first time. Paybon alleges that Micah confided in her that John Paul demanded she will be available to him multiple times every single day. If she refused, Paybon alleges he wouldn't let her sleep. He'd keep her awake till she gave in. Another friend, Charlotte Korn, alleges Micah told her she wasn't allowed to get out of bed before John Paul woke up. She couldn't leave her house for more than 3 hours. Korn says John Paul would call at the two-hour mark, then 20 minutes later, then in shorter and shorter intervals until Micah came home. If she didn't leave when he wanted her to leave, he'd show up. Friends allege Micah took testosterone at John Paul's encouragement to keep up with his demands. Even though it altered and strained her voice, Micah was a worship leader at Solid Rock. The congregation loved her because she could sing. He allegedly pressured her into taking a hormone that damaged the instrument she was known for so she could serve his needs. He allegedly took her voice, the one thing the church stayed for. A text message from John Paul appeared on screen. He tells Micah she can't treat someone this way and leave. He tells her to act like a godly wife and put the marriage above her family, her friends, and her own feelings. What he preached in public, that a wife who refuses has failed her husband, is, according to Paybon, exactly what he allegedly enforced behind closed doors. He talked about it in public. Former church member Erica Rahr says that when Paybon told her what Micah had described, Rahr was physically ill. And number one, I think you know what number one is if you watch the doc. Paybon alleges that Micah told her John Paul paid strangers off the street to commit acts against her body without her consent. That's the cleanest way I can put it. He allegedly brought people into their home and forced Micah into encounters she never agreed to. Kind of Diddy style, allegedly. With people she'd never met. When Micah fled to her sister Sierra's home to get away, Pabon alleges John Paul threatened to show up armed. John Paul's a lot like Diddy in a lot of ways, isn't he? I mean, at least if you take the allegations against Diddy and you take the allegations against John Paul, you're like, ah, similar monster. Similar grandiose narcissistic monster. If you believe the allegations. And what the hell is it with these unhealthy idiots having this weird obsession with other people doing horrible things to the person they supposedly love and care about? What is that? That's some weird self-loathing shit right there. Because you see it in the Diddy case, you see it in this case. These people are supposedly so secure in themselves, so big in their egos, and this is like what they get off on. I mean, it says a lot. Every revelation on this list is worse than the last, and every single one allegedly built on the one before it. The sermons told the congregation a wife who refuses commits a sin. The medication allegedly clouded her mind. The hospitalization allegedly removed her from her own home. The devices he took allegedly gave him control over her most private images. And then, according to Micah's closest friend, he allegedly brought strangers into their home and subjected her to things she never consented to. What Micah's friends and family describe isn't one act from a man who lost control. It's an alleged system built to tighten around her till she had nowhere to go. Micah called 911 on April 27th, 24. She asked the dispatcher to make sure her family could find her. She filed for divorce twice. The first time, October of 23. That filing was dismissed in February 24, the same month she was allegedly hospitalized against her will. In a handwritten affidavit accompanying the second filing, she wrote that she had been abused emotionally, spiritually, financially, and physically. John Paul was served those papers on April 25th. 2 days later, she drove to Lumber River State Park in North Carolina. John Paul Miller has pled not guilty to the federal charges of cyberstalking and making false statements to investigators. His trial is scheduled for October. We'll cover it here. The day after Micah died, he stood at solid rock at the pulpit, preached the full Sunday sermon, and announced her death at the very end, calling it self-induced and telling the congregation, "Don't talk about it." The FBI raided a property connected to him in November of 24. A federal grand jury indicted him the following month. Then he married fellow church member Susie Skinner in June of 25, a woman whose own husband, a quadriplegic Army veteran, drowned in a neighborhood pool in 2021 under circumstances the Horry County Coroner's Office is still rather reviewing. Coincidence? Solid Rock Church closed after Micah's death. The property sold for $2.1 million to a developer. John Paul started a new church down the road. He calls it Mercy Church. Susie leads worship. The same role Micah held before. Micah Miller was 30 years old. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. There's a lot more to come in this case. I can guarantee that. If you want the inside in on it, then press subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now. And in the comments, give us your thoughts. Take us with you wherever you go in podcast form. The QR code is right there on the screen. All you got to do is scan it. It takes you to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube if you're already there. And you can press subscribe. Take the audio with you wherever you go in podcast form. Do that. We do appreciate that very much. Do hit subscribe. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Death of a Pastor's Wife. Maybe you've seen it. It's on Netflix now. If you are not familiar with the J.P. Miller, John Paul Miller saga and Micah Miller tragedy, it's a great place to start your journey of going down that road. We've been covering it here on the show for the last several years, kind of on and off, but now there's federal charges against JP. And the documentary pretty much holds nothing back. In a nutshell, JP Miller met Micah when she was just a teenager. Some accounts have it all the way to the age of 10. At 18, he officiated her first marriage to another man, Jeremy Diaz, only to later make her his personal assistant and then initiate an affair with her and have her as his nanny while he's married. And then he married her himself. That's the lead up. That's the life before the death of Micah Miller. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into life after the tragedy, and even more today. But we want to kind of work sequentially through this, the coercive control years, if you will, everything that led up to the death of Micah Miller. Here to help us do that, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, as well as Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Watch this doc, like I said, if you've not done so yet. News Nation also did a great, they even had the man who did the interview on the doc. He did like an hour with JP about a year ago. I remember, I think I was on Banfield that night talking about it. And it is, it's just stunning to watch. It's stunning to watch the behavior of JP Miller as he believes how he's coming across as a competent human being. It's just, you got to watch it to fully grasp. Let's start with the long game of grooming, though, Siobhan. The documentary reveals the timeline. JP met Miller as a teenager, officiated her first marriage at 18, eventually inserted himself into her life as her boss, pastor, and lover. People on the outside looking in, seeing what happened here, going, oh, my God, he totally preyed on this woman. Her side looking in at that moment in time, it's a love story. This is someone that she trusts, that she's cared about, that's been through many moments of life with her on. How is it that we're able to have such very different viewpoints depending on how close to the sun we're flying?
You know, I thought it was a great documentary. I watched it on my laptop, and I really had the urge to wipe the whole laptop down with hand sanitizer afterwards.
Or throw it out.
Oh, yeah. It was just, he is such a slimy person. But yeah, the grooming, I think, is common, particularly in certain kinds of churches. I certainly saw it in the church I grew up in. Mm-hmm. But I saw her as a sad teen. You know, her sisters brought out that there had been a divorce in the family. It impacted her tremendously. And she turned to church. She turned to faith. And I think she became obsessed with it. And I pretty much did the same thing. Mm-hmm. But it left her vulnerable. And her faith became her identity and her purpose and her coping mechanism and where she put her emotions. And it was just integrated into her personality in a very, very, very deep way. And that set her up for a guy like this, a predator.
You know, there's so many striking things that is, Siobhan, that just the red flags were waving numerous times, I thought. And I'm curious because, and I know editing has a lot to do with this, especially you make a Netflix special and things like that. But every time they're showing the church congregation and JP preaching, he's got some sexual theme going and submissive sexual theme going. I mean, years ago when we were very church going family and in-laws and everything, the way we grew up, I never once heard any of those themes in church once. Yet, it again, editing could have been it, but it sounds like it was like they weren't playing the same clip again and again and again. And so I'm curious, what your interpretation, was it an intentional grooming of an entire church? Are these people self-selecting into this? I mean, how come this group of people that were then tithing and giving money to pay him for this messaging, yet at the same time, you know, as Amy Duggar King has said on our show beautifully from the Duggars and IBLP, you know, that they cherry pick portions of the Bible they want to use to their own gain. He was totally doing that, but for such a long period of time, and sexualizing the entire Bible and the subjugation of women. How does that happen?
I was baffled at the fact that his church kept growing. You know, they said it started off with just a handful of people. And this is where we go back to the cult word.
Yeah.
I mean, you have this charismatic, I thought he was a kook, but apparently a lot of people found him funny. They found him charming. I mean, this is all Cluster B stuff, right?
He can play the piano.
Like Jerry Lee Lewis, right? Who also married his 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah.
But it was shocking to see the people. And, you know, I always am careful of a church where everybody waves their hands in the air all the time. And, you know,
that's breaking rattles and bones.
That was my church, too. There was a lot of that going on. And you know, but these people were into it. And it was like he created this closed system, this kind of us versus them, we've got it, we're the most loving group, and how they sucked people in. You know, people talked about, oh, I just went and they made me feel so good. That's classic cult stuff. And then this sexual compulsion, my God, you could do a case study on this guy's sexual behavior, multiple paraphilias. He abused the heck out of her sexually, speaking of Micah. And
I mean, allegedly, and all of it,
and brought in homeless.
Allegedly, yeah. I mean, all of these are allegations against him. He's never been convicted of anything. He's never been charged with a lot of. There has been some charges, but a lot of these are allegations. I should say that. But do people in environments like this, is this a group that are the group that's susceptible to fall into one of these churches and to see a person like JP on stage? And yes, he's charismatic. He's intense with the way he delivers a message. Is that intensity often mistaken for authenticity with groups like this, where it's such a gray line, they don't quite have the ability to identify someone's real intent or even the depth of the meaning behind the message that's being given out, because the intensity is so engaging? Because some of the things he's talking about, you know, where he's talking about his wife, and it's all about submission to him, and if they refuse it, then they're gonna find somebody by the end of the day, so you better give it up to him when he asks. I mean, it's like, holy shit, like, and this congregation's just like, keep going, JP.
Right.
I mean, but he's delivering with intensity and that charismaticness that those preachers have, and oh my gosh, this is the word of the Lord, tithing time. You know, I mean, that's tithing people, it seems like the more intense some of these people can be, the more people eat this shit up. Whether it's good or not, it's just like, it's like the spigot is on, and they can't fill up their pitchers quick enough.
Yeah, they bought into it, and I had the same thought, is who would be bamboozled by this? Who could sit and listen to this, right? And then I go back to me at 13 when I was listening to weirdo pastors. Maybe at 13 I would have been fooled by the intensity, but boy, I would have sure grown out of it pretty fast. But this focus on sexuality in his sermons and this thing about wives cannot say no. And so basically this powerful guilt for any woman that would be listening to that and feel like, well, you know, this is just what God wants. And so confusing this obedience thing, that women are the helpmeet and are there to serve the husband, and the husband is the power in the family and the control. It creates a lot of self-doubt in the women. And I'm sure there were men who thought, hey, this is pretty good. I like this, you know. But again, there's apparently a lot of people who just don't have insight. And it would be interesting to have some interviews with people who maybe wandered in and got creeped out and said, yeah, this was just over the top.
I really wonder, kind of like with IBLP and the Duggars, where it attracts predators. And I really, again, innocent until proven guilty, just conjecture, thought experiments, all those things. I'm really curious about how he grew his congregation. Was it because men were dragging their women to this? Or was it vice versa? Because he's putting out a message that's great for predators.
Exactly.
Yeah, and people that, or predators, people that want to take advantage and subjugate people in their lives, like their women, their wives, because that's, again, it blows my mind. He was so consistent on kept preaching this subjugation and cherry picking out of the Bible what he wanted to.
Yes.
Do people like that even know? Do you think he knew that, you know, when he's writing out his sermons or picking out the direction he's going to go with it, that, I mean, is there the active thought process there in JP's mind, you know, and on conjecture here? Like, all right, I really need to make this one land this week because of what's going on in my life with Micah at home or whatever. And if I tell it to the congregation that this is how wives should act and see everybody's doing this, Micah, you should do this too. Like, is he even aware that he's doing it, I guess, is a question? Or is it just for someone like this is just the modality they have, and their modality is manipulation, and manipulation isn't manipulation to them, it's just a way of life.
I'm gonna guess this was conscious on his part to some degree, but it was all self-serving. It was his defense mechanism, the way the guy moves through the world. And the other thing I wanted to mention, you know, what my term for most of these folks, cluster B, right? Because you see this overlapping with narcissism and the psychopathy, the manipulation, the lack of a conscience, the, you know, hidden rage that he would take out on Micah. All cluster B, but the big one that really hit me over the head that we don't always see is the histrionic personality.
Yeah.
This guy loved an audience. Talk about doing big, dramatic emotions. And a histrionic person wants the eyes on them all the time, and they're not happy when they're not in front of an audience. And yeah, he really was. You put him on that piano, and he lit up, and he was on fire internally when he was preaching. You could just tell how satisfying this was to him. So I think this is just his way of moving through the world, highly manipulative. And people like this, do they have insight into what they're doing? To some degree, but sometimes it's just the way they think.
Yeah, Gen Z's putting a lot of great comments in for us this morning. I thought this one was really good because I think it begs kind of a question and an interpretation here as well. He thought it was okay. Do you think it's not just he thought it was okay, but to me, he's also saying, hey, I'm a little unsure whether this is okay or not. So I'm gonna put it out there for the world to validate it is okay. Mm-hmm. So is that part of it also?
Could be. Yeah, certainly he wanted
looking
validation.
For justification. Right.
And he got the validation, which is the crazy part. And the other thing that struck me was, when he's busted, right, with the affair with Micah from his first wife, Allie, and this came out from Allie finding texts on his phone, and then Micah confessed everything. The rationalizing of the group that, well, God forgives everybody, and this is part of their theology and their belief system. But the histrionic, again, the scene, so many scenes that just really, I have my notes again from the scenes that just jumped out at me. When he was rolling on the grass sobbing.
Oh, my God.
Weird little boy.
Oh, my God. Yes, I know.
I think he knows what he's doing, and that's something that's worked for him. Well, he does something horrible. It's exposed. And then he cries. And, you know, that is so manipulative because he works his way back into the fold, worked his way back into being the pastor. And that should have been, for savvy people, a sign of we've got a guy with a characterological problem here who is not suited for leading any group of people.
You know, and I know this topic has come up a lot, you know, covering the Lindsey Clancy case, and people have been arguing about performative and not performative. We've used other cases as examples of what performance in a courtroom looks like and doesn't look like. That is performative. Yes. When you saw him bawling on the ground like a 2-year-old,
yes,
that is performative.
Very much. Very
talking
much.
Like this with his
oh my God. I mean, you just wanted to put him out of his misery.
Well, yeah. I mean, histrionic. Let's talk about that for a little bit to help people understand it a little bit more. I mean, that's an interesting thing because, like, when it's presenting itself in relationships without a camera, and it's just interpersonal. I mean, it can be very destructive, and a lot of times, at least in my experience with folks like that, they seem rather clueless as to the destruction path that they're leaving in their wake. It's just, it seems to be their modality. Here's we had a camera that followed it around. But the desire for the attention, the desire for the chaos seems to be like unquenchable. In so many cases with these people, which is why interpersonally, even without a camera, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, what? Why are you continuing this sort of behavior that just is utterly chaotic and just leads to problems? Here, I mean, he's getting the feedback from society of like, what you're doing is not right. Like, this is messed up. This is weird. This is wrong. Mm-hmm. But the attention is there. The attention gets more intense. The crazier shit he does. Does that just feed a histrionic person like this when you're in that sort of a position of power with a preacherhood or whatever you call it, pastor, I don't know what it's technically called, but having a congregation that listens to you, does that just feed that sort of madness, the toxicness of a histrionic personality? Because it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. The feedback is there, the feedback exists, and the energy is being put back at your madness, and that just feeds it. Doesn't matter what if it's good or bad out of them.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter as long as the eyes in the room are on them. And it's a compulsive drive. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And everything I saw with him from as I say, his playing the piano to his preaching to his attempt at humor, which none of it I found funny, but people in the congregation laughed. And folks like that, this is so much a part of who they are. You know, when we talk about who can be treated and who can change and what are the odds of that, folks with histrionic personality, they never get it. They don't have insight. They don't want to change. And so this is a very poor prognosis for somebody changing or improving.
The other thing that is so shocking about this is, as I noted, you know, in our chat, and also when you watch a doc, he's on his third wife. Each one of these wives came from his own congregation that has seen this entire show from the inside. So it's not like he's going out in the public and grabbing one that has no idea of history, no idea of anything that's going on. And yet, his church even talked about, at least Micah did, about how divorce is against the church, is against God's will, and yet he's doing it. So are these, it's hard to imagine that you have an entire congregation of people that are completely unhealthy. It's just not realistic. But at the same time, you're seeing people inside his church agreeing with him, going along with him, and then saying it's okay to marry him. Are they all, so Siobhan, are you've seen these things from the inside, are they all unhealthy people, healthy people that are wrapped up? I mean, how does that happen to a group that is largely, I imagine, composed with people that don't have malformations of brain, don't have chemical imbalances? Are they all broken, or are they just sucked in by something else?
The word that pops into my head is naive, and people that have a very strong emotional need to be led, and they can... I mean, I think a lot of really broken and people who are dependent, you know, and you may not be a mentally ill person, but you can still be a highly dependent person. And so when you include the fact that they're naive, and he's very persuasive, I mean, not to us, but to apparently to a lot of people in the congregation, he could use scripture, and of course they can't question scripture because that's part of the whole thing. And the way, you know, from what I've seen in my own experience in these churches, however the pastor interprets scripture, people buy into that because that's just part of, you know, part of the system. But it does have a cult-like quality. And I think people who are essentially healthy people, they don't have personality disorders, but they're needy, they're vulnerable, and they're prone to following charismatic cult leaders. And I think this was on the edge of something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. It's shocking to watch. And obviously, we can't diagnose him, so we don't know if he's truly histrionic or not. But that's our conjecture and opinion based on the observations that we've seen.
Yeah, we can't give a DSM diagnosis.
Yes,
but we can certainly say observable behavior. Observable behavior.
Pretty damn nutter. Observable.
We can call him a nutter.
Yeah, he's officially a nutterer.
Or just a slime ball. Either slime way, ball, nutter, slimy slime nutter. Ball.
Yeah. All of the above. All of the above. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue our conversation about death of a pastor's wife, the story of pastor, and I put it in air quotes because it's like, you're not a pastor. Pastor J.P. Miller, John Paul Miller, and the death of Micah Miller.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No